It's not easy. You're going through a difficult time and you wonder if you're going to survive because you're being pressed out. You are just, it is almost too much pressure. You know what the will of God is, but you find it hard. You find it difficult. Oh, beloved, what are you going to do? Well, we have lessons for you from the life of Jesus, from his time in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm in the Garden of Gethsemane here in Jerusalem, and you can hear the city coming awake and going about its business. This is where Jesus came, beloved, on the night in which he was betrayed. He came here to do business with God. And what happened in this garden determined all the things that would follow. Beloved, as we look at Matthew chapter 26, I want you to know that God has a message for you today. And that message has to do with the will of God and being pressed out. First, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 30, it says, after singing a hymn, and this is in the upper room, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. As he said this, what he's doing again is quoting the scripture. He's quoting a very significant scripture that we find in the book of Zechariah. It's a very interesting scripture, and I want us to look at it for just a minute. And I want you to go to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah is the second to last book in the Old Testament. And in the second to last book, we have this prophecy. In verse 7, it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. And then what he does is he jumps millenniums to yet something that has to be fulfilled in the future. But we stop there, and we stop there because this is where the battle was won, was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when you learn the principles, the precepts of what happened in this garden, then you, beloved, will know how to win the battle. How to win the battle when you are being pressed out. Because the word Gethsemane, the way we say it, is really Gethsemane. And it means the place of the olive press. I'm in the midst of olive trees. This is where Jesus would come. This is where they were making olive oil. This is where they would take the olives and they would crush the olives. And the first oil that came out was the virgin olive oil. It was the best of the olive oil. And so Jesus is in a place where he is going to be pressed out. It says, but after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. He's going back to the Galilee. He's going back to the place where he called them, most of them, where he met them, where his public ministry was. So although he tells them that they are going to be scattered like sheep, he tells them also that he will meet them again after he has been raised. In other words, yes, the shepherd is going to be struck down and the sheep are going to be scattered, but the shepherd is going to be raised from the dead and the sheep are going to be gathered back to the shepherd. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And you know what? He meant it. He meant it from the depths of his being. And in all probability, at one time in your life, you have said, Lord, I will never do that. I vow I will never do that. And yet you found yourself doing it. You found yourself. And was there hope afterwards? Yes. And what could have prevented your doing it? Well, this is what we'll see. And Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, this very night. Now it's morning and you hear the trucks and you hear the cars and you hear the bustle of the people. And even as I stand in this garden, the priest is behind me in the garden walking, and he reminded me, this is a place of prayer. This is not a tourist place. He's let me into his private garden. This is a place of prayer. And Jesus said, truly, I say to you, this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And then you have to understand, and many times we miss this, and it says, and all the disciples said the same thing. Now, how many disciples are there now? Well, remember, Judas has left the supper. Judas has gone out to betray Jesus. So there are only 11 with him for a while in this garden. The 12th is coming, and we'll see what happens. Then Jesus came to the place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Sit here, and I'm going to go over and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be grieved and distressed. And I want you to understand this grief of his heart. It says, and then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. He says, remain here and keep watch with me. I am so grieved that I am about to die, and I want you to stay here, and I want you to keep watch with me. What I want you to do, beloved, as I stand in this gorgeous, beautiful garden, a place of prayer, I want you to know and to understand the agony of this place, the utter agony of this place, the utter hell of what Jesus was going through. He couldn't have been in a more appropriate place than an olive press where he is about to be crushed. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. God, I'm asking you, is it possible? Is there another way? Will you let this cup pass from me? And yet, not my will, but thy will. And he came to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? It's so significant, isn't it? That here is Jesus, who is doing the work of God, and he needs the support of those who are with him, those who are his followers. It just shows you the importance of prayer for the work of God. Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, he's omnipotent. And yet here is God in the flesh bidding his disciples to watch and pray with him for just 1 hour. And he has to wake them up. Does God have to wake you up? I know, precious one, that he has convicted me that I do not pray enough, that I am to walk in a constant attitude of prayer. And I find myself many times being drawn back and thinking of the Lord. But sometimes I find myself getting up out of bed, and my first thought is not God. My first thought is simply getting up. And I want to get up, and many times I roll over on my face on the bed to pray, to begin my day that way. So he says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, what is he saying here? And it's so important. And the other Gospels does not tell us, it does not take us through the process that Matthew takes us through. The process of one time, two times, three times, saying keep watching and praying. Now, when he says keep watching and praying, it's in the present tense. It's to be a habit of life. We have to be vigilant. Why? Because as you hear, the world is all around me. I'm in a secluded garden where there is a lock on the door, where I had to get permission from the Catholic Father to come and hear at the Garden of the Church of All Nations and be able to cut this program for you. And yet, in all of it, what do you hear? You hear the bustle of the sound of the world outside. When you step out of the garden, you're into the world. When you come away from your private place, you are stepping into a place of temptation. You are stepping into a place of testing. How are you going to make it when the pressures of the world come upon you? When they begin to press you out, beloved, how are you going to make it? Well, he tells us, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Remember in the Lord's Prayer that we studied in Matthew chapter 6, where you pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, or deliver me from the evil one. And so once again, he says you are to watch and you are to pray that you enter not into temptation. Why? And he tells you the spirit is willing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, let's go on. And he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. If it can't pass away unless I do it, and I'm asking you if there's another way, I want you to know that I want your will above all. Now remember, he's in agony. Remember, he is deeply grieved. As a matter of fact, Luke, the physician, in his gospel tells us, because he's the physician, that Jesus Christ was in such agony. He was in such torment of soul and of spirit that as he was praying, drops of blood, great sweats and drops of blood came out on his forehead and was dropping to the ground. What was going on? Well, beloved, we're going to look at it in just a minute. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference?
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back, beloved, to the hustling, bustling sounds of the city of Jerusalem. I'm in a secluded garden, and yet you can hear the sounds of life all around me. It was for this people that Jesus was in agony. He was in agony for the people of all the nations. He was in such agony here in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember the olive press, that as he was pressed out in prayer, as he was deeply grieved about what was awaiting him, he was in such agony that he began to sweat, as I said, great drops of blood. The body is designed to faint when it's under pressure. But when it doesn't, the pressure builds up in the head. And then those capillaries begin to break and the blood begins to come out. Jesus was in such agony that they were not small beads of perspiration, but rather Luke tells us that those great drops of sweat like blood were falling to the ground. As I sit in this garden and I see the red poppies spattered all over, it's kind of, in a sense, a symbol to me of the agony of this garden, of the battle that was won here through prayer and through an overwhelming passion, an overwhelming desire to do the will of God no matter the cost. Well, we saw that he prayed a second time. And it says in verse 43, again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time. Now you want to mark the word prayer because you want to see what you can learn from marking prayer. You want to see here that he didn't pray once, this one thing. He didn't pray it twice, but he prayed it three times. Keep on watching and praying. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it was ask and it was knock and it was seek. And it says, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeing. Beloved, sometimes it just has to be a persistence of life. And so what he's showing us is, here is God in the flesh. Here is the Son of Man. Here is the one, as Matthew showed us, who came to give his life a ransom for many, to lay down his life. He knows what's been awaiting him. He's known it since the time before he left heaven, before he was confined to the womb of Mary, before he was born. He knew that he was born to die. And yet, knowing all that, he is praying three times he goes to the Father. Three times what he tells him is this. This is what I would like. I would like another way, but thy will be done. He then says he prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. And you want to mark that time phrase. The hour is at hand. This is what he came for. The hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Can you imagine the agony? One that has followed you for about 3.5 years. One who has seen you do all these miracles. One who has seen over and over again that he was the Son of God. And yet he is betraying Jesus at the hand of sinners. He says, get up and let's be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. This is illegal. They are about to arrest him for an illegal trial. They have Roman soldiers behind them. They're coming with swords. They're coming with clubs. Now he was who was betraying them gave them a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him. And immediately Judas went up to Jesus and said, hail, Rabbi. And then he leaned down and he gave him a kiss. And Jesus said to him, friend, do what you have come for. Then they came to him and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew his sword and cut off the ear of one of the slaves of the high priest. We don't know who it is in this gospel, but John is going to later tell us that it was Peter. Peter, the one that was prepared to die with Jesus, the one that said, even though I have to die, I will not deny you. He was ready to fight. And then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who live by the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once at my disposal, put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Do you think that I'm impotent? Don't you know that all of heaven is at my bidding? Don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels and they could wipe out everyone? But this is not why he came. He was born to die. It was in a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus agonized and agonized over the will of God, but won the victory. He won the victory. He says, how then will the scripture be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way? We know from the Old Testament that Jesus was going to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. The Old Testament tells us this. The scripture must be fulfilled in this way. And at that time, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. Why have you come with clubs? Why have you come with swords? He says, but all these things had taken place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets. And it says, then all the disciples left him and fled. They went away. Jesus was seized. He was taken. He was taken away. The gospel tells us that he was tied together. And they took him away, a band of chief priests and elders following him. And his disciples fled. Why, beloved? Listen, this is your precept for life. This is your lesson for today. Because they did not keep watching. Because they did not keep praying. Because although they said, we will die with you. Not only Peter said it, but all of the other 10 said it. The other 10 said it. And they said it and they meant it. But they didn't keep watching and they didn't keep praying. And they didn't remember that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. What is God's lesson for you and me as I sit here in the Garden of Gethsemane, the olive press? It is this, that you and I are going to encounter great trials. We are going to be put in places of temptation. And we need to remember that we need to keep praying and keep watching and keep praying until we have the victory. Until we are willing to say, not my will, but thine be done, and mean it and do it. You never hear the disciples saying, not my will, but thine be done. You hear them saying, I'm willing to die with you. But you don't see them recognizing the weakness of their flesh. Oh, beloved, in this garden that Jesus turned into a sanctuary of prayer, you and I need to remember that day by day we need to pray. Lead us not into temptation. We need to keep watching. We need to keep praying. We need to remember the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And yet we can overcome the flesh, beloved. We can overcome the flesh if we will watch and
I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
With every teaching of the Word of God, beloved, we need to understand what God wants us to know and what He wants us to believe, what He wants us to do, how He wants us to behave. And so, as we look at Jesus' time in the Garden of Gethsemane, you and I need to understand, first of all, that the will of God is not always easy. It's not a piece of cake. It's not something that is necessarily something that you're going to embrace, that you want to take to yourself. Sometimes the will of God is extremely painful. Sometimes the will of God, in a sense, requires you laying down your life. That's what Jesus was doing. He was laying down His life. He was laying down what He wanted for the will of the Father. And it's not that He did not want to be the one who would take away their sins, but it was the agony that He was about to face. And so sometimes with the will of God, there is pain, there is agony, there is deep, deep grief. But beloved, listen to me carefully. The will of God is the only way to live. It is the only path to take, because it is the path of fulfillment. Jesus, and this is the second thing I want you to see, in the will of God, you fulfill God's purpose for your life, because it is His will. And His will, you will find at the end, is good, and it is acceptable, and it is perfect. In Isaiah chapter 53, which was a prophecy of the agony that Jesus Christ would go through, it says He sees the travail of His soul and He is satisfied. It's the travail of His soul, but He's satisfied. And when you get to the other side of the grief, of the agony, of the will of God, then you have that sweet sense of peace. You have that sweet sense of fulfillment. You have that sweet sense of completion, of satisfaction, because you chose to do the will of God. And so I'm calling you now. I'm calling you to say to God, to surrender to God, and say, God, not my will, but Yours be done. No matter the pain, no matter the sacrifice, I know that in Your will, there is peace. There is peace, and there is the well done, my good and faithful servant. So do the will of God. Watch and pray continuously.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.